And I've told this story before. I told this story about a month or two ago during our very early 535 skate around segment. And I'm pretty sure I've told it once or twice over the 21 years we've been doing this show. But when I was a kid, I had a Nerf basketball team. Imaginary. I loved my Nerf basketball hoop. In fact, I'm so old that I got a Nerf basketball hoop back when the hoops were steel, not plastic.
Yeah, I remember those, yeah.
And I had a real string net and the foam little orange Nerf basketball, and that was probably the centerpiece of my childhood, either that or baseball cards.
Jeez.
That's what my childhood revolved around.
I've seen your ridiculous program from that team.
Yeah. And it started in third grade, and since I was born in Amarillo, I wanted to play for a team from my hometown. So I created the Amarillo Armadillos, the basketball team for the University of Amarillo. And we played at a mythical convention center in Amarillo, and we were damn good. And I, of course, was the star of the team. I was the 7-foot center who could not be stopped. The power forward, or the small forward on the team, was my best friend in college. I was a college kid, right? Mm-hmm. And my roommate, it was Norm Van Leer Jr., the son of the Bulls star Norm Van Leer. Now, the timeline didn't make any sense. Norm Van Leer at the time was about 28. He couldn't have had a college-age kid. But in my mind, this is how it worked.
Then again, you're playing with a game piece that's about the size of your hand, so right. There's going to be some instability.
The power forward was Dan Smith. He was 6'8". 240, farm boy. But he could clean the glass and played good defense, allowing me to freelance a little bit.
Sure.
Our point guard was Jerry Goodrich, the son of Gail Goodrich, interestingly enough.
Wow, this is great.
This coach really put together a good team.
And the off guard, the shooting guard, was Jack Landry. And he wasn't a real high scorer. He was more of a defensive specialist.
Mm-hmm. Son of Tom Landry.
We brought two off the bench, John Gianelli Jr., the son of John Gianelli, the NBA backup center.
Oh.
And Michael Woodard. He wasn't the son of anybody, but I think I got that name from maybe college football, George Woodard. I don't know how I got that, but that was one of our backups that came off the bench. And our coach was Red Landry. Jack Landry was his son.
A lot of family ties.
And I want to say that they were related to Tom Landry in some way. I can't remember specifically, but that was our team. And we were a college basketball powerhouse. And each year I had our full schedule. We played 30 games or so. And we made it to the Final Four 3 times. We played UCLA in the title game all 3 times. We beat them twice.
So you didn't always win the title.
No. 2 out of 3, we won the title. And I was All-American, finals, most outstanding player, all of that.
Were you in a conference or are you independent?
We were independent.
Okay.
So we played everybody from the region, and we played OU. You know, this is when I was living in Oklahoma City, so we would play OU. We'd play a lot of the Big 8 teams. We'd play some of the smaller college teams. We played a lot of small college teams from Texas. I remember Houston Tillotson was always on our schedule, and we played real random because, you know, we needed some filler because we would also play Notre Dame, and we played UCLA during the regular season. And so my room was the arena. The closet is what we ran out of pretending I was coming out of the locker room, and so we would come out of there, and my bed was the grandstands.
Do you think he needs to lie down on a couch and tell this story to someone?
Yes, as I've said before, when most people tell childhood stories, it always is happy nostalgia for me. That's what I experience when Craig tells a childhood story. I just get sadder.
But this made me so happy.
I know, but
this made
me
so happy. I had a little scoreboard that I got from my talking football game, and it came with blank little placards, if you will, and so I could write armadillos on one of them and Fighting Irish on the other. And so I had a scoreboard for each game, personalized. And I did full post-game shows and pre-game shows. I interviewed myself before and after the games, and I played the full game, and I kept score. And I would, to pass the ball, I would throw it off the wall, right? You had a little foam Nerf basketball, and so Goodrich, top of the key, throws it down low to Miller, and I would just either lob it in the air if it was going into the post, or off the wall if it was going out to the wing, And I did the play-by-play in my mind as I'm playing this game. And it was also cathartic because, let's say that day at school, someone had bullied me. Well, magically, that night, that bully was the star of the other team, and I would dunk all over.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So if he could guard you.
Yeah, there's no way he could guard me. And then we might have maybe, you know, had to be separated by the referees and everything because of, but I always got the last
chippy.
Laugh. Yeah, I got a little chippy.
A little chippy because it was earlier conflict between the two.
And I made media guides each year for the team. I had, yeah, George, you've seen one of them where I had the whole roster, and I would cut out ads from regular magazines and I would put them in the media guide.
You need to post those online. Do you have pictures of your old media guides?
I think I can get one, yeah.
That'd be great.
Do you think his parents huddled outside his bedroom door and said,
when do we intervene?
Someone?
When do we do it? Should we do it now?
Should we stop him?
Should we wait till he grows out of it? Do you think he will grow out of it?
So I did that third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade, the Amarillo Armadillos college basketball team, two national titles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's time for me to graduate. And so I got drafted by the NBA. And so I created an Amarillo NBA franchise. Since college basketball was so big in that town, they were granted an NBA franchise. We were the Amarillo Cowboys.
Ah, different.
And so we played a full NBA schedule. And in the NBA, I was kind of, I guess, like a Dirk type. I wasn't necessarily the big-time dominant center in the NBA. I was still a tall guy, but a real high scorer. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I had a few hundred-point games.
100 points?
Yeah. And so I did that for a couple more years. I played an NBA team. And then eventually I grew out of it somewhere in high school.
But midway through your senior year, I can't do this anymore.
A good five-year stretch from third grade to eighth grade, maybe even ninth grade. I may have carried it 6 years into my freshman year of high school.
And then finally I can't do this
anymore.
And
finally said, well, wait, girls.
You know what the problem was I got too big for the Nerf setting.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're in fourth grade or fifth grade, it's almost to scale and you kind of have to jump to dunk.
Yeah.
But when you get to be eighth grade and ninth grade, you're too big and you can't really jump to dunk. And so it just didn't work. So that was a huge part of my childhood. Well, the other night, 60 Minutes runs a piece on a guy by the name of Bob Petrella. And I get inundated with emails from P1 saying, oh my God, Junior, this is your soulmate.
Mm-mm.
So I watch this piece. It's about 13 minutes long. Leslie Stahl is the reporter. Bob Petrella is a guy who is one of those crazy memory guys like Mary Lou Henner.
Mm-hmm.
They can remember every single thing about their life. Every moment, every day, every time, everybody's name. They have super memory. Well, 60 Minutes profiled him before, but they went back and did a follow-up story because they found out about his imaginary basketball team from his childhood, the Holland College Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And they have played in 10 title games and won 5. Now, he is not a player, but he creates the roster every year, and he's been doing this for all his life, since his childhood. So every year, Holland College has a new roster, and they've got a new coach this year, and he plays out all the games in his mind, in his house, and he keeps stats, and he can sit down and tell you the stats from every player on every year of Holland College.
Gosh.
Why didn't he just watch the Mavericks?
So let's hear some of this report from Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes, and this is her talking about Bob Petrella and how the teams have unfolded over the years. And you'll hear him, you'll hear her. And I believe in this cut, you're also going to hear a memory expert / psychologist talking about this.
Who were the starting forwards in 1983?
The starting forwards in 83 were Otis Pukki and Brad Jasmine.
He can describe them.
How tall were they?
Otis Pukki was 6'6", and Brad Jasmine was undersized at 6'5", but real bulky.
You can almost forget.
Tell us about the years they made it to the NCAA Finals.
They went to the final between 73 and 75. They won in 74. They went in 77, 78, 80. They lost.
That none of this is real.
I mean, this is really unusual. I have never heard of anything like this before. Never. You made that up, though.
Of course. Yeah.
Dr. James McGaugh is a leading expert on memory and cognition at the University of California, Irvine.
It's not just a series of facts that he recalls, like the memory of the names of the presidents or the alphabet. It's a whole story that he has. And the story is rich in detail because you can ask him more and more questions about each of the players.
And it's five people every year for 50 years.
That's right.
Plus the coach and the college president.
One could not do this without the kind of memory that Bob has.
Okay, so
just like you.
Doesn't it?
And yes.
You know what? I just got chills there because I didn't hear this the first time around. His Holland College Golden Knights went to the Final Four, he said, in 73, 74, and 75. Those were the exact years I was in third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade.
So you played against him.
when I just told you guys that the Amarillo Armadillos went to the Final Four those 3 years. How wild is that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This guy and I started, and our teams went to the Final Four. We were doing the same thing at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's creepy.
Swipe right.
Okay, here he is talking about how it all got started.
The fun started more than 50 years ago when Bob was in junior high and a devoted fan of his local high school football team in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. They had gone undefeated for two full seasons, so when they finally lost, Bob was devastated. His solution? Create a fictional town with its own team and run around acting out the games.
Once my neighbors go, what is Bobby Petrella doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, they would just see me out in the backyard, like throwing a football and catching it. And then I would narrate the game. And that was Tigertown High School.
The next year, Bob gave his imaginary town, Tigertown, an imaginary college, Holland, with a basketball team that's been playing ever since.
How does it work? You have a new team every year?
Yeah, it's just like college. When they're seniors, they graduate, so we bring in new classes, which is always kind of fun for me because it's kind of like having a new kid or something.
He brings them to life as a novelist would, with personalities, backstories, and colorful names like Neil Bo Jagger, Travis Shakespeare, Lamar Mundane, and Slappy Hill. Though Slappy wasn't actually his real name.
Slappy Hill's real name was Sean. He became Slappy because when he was a little kid, he would run around the room and he'd go over and he'd slap everybody's thigh and everybody start calling him Slappy.
Another favorite, 350-pound center Isaac Mosley, who played in the late 80s.
Very nice guy, very gregarious, had a real deep booming voice. And his name was Isaac Abraham Mosley, so he's called Big Mo. And he'd walk in and go, Big Mo is ready for the big show. You know, so it echoed, Big Mo is ready for the big show.
This is in your head.
Yes, his initials were IAM. So whenever someone would ask him something, say, Isaac, how you doing? He'd use IAM, I am. And he'd go, I am. I'm delighted.
I cannot believe how elaborate that story is. Are they all like that?
Most of them. Okay.
So he keeps stats for every game, and he has backstories about all these players, and he keeps them going sometimes until the players die. He'll call his friends and say, hey, Mo, Big Mo got killed in a car wreck this evening. Isn't that sad? And he'll be sad.
Okay, were the mental hospital orderlies standing behind him during this interview?
And just like I did as a child, he acts out all these games in his living room with basically a Nerf hoop set up.
In case you're wondering, those last two voices were longtime announcer Bill Tronzo and color commentator Adonis McReynolds.
You're both the announcer and the player and the crowd.
Right.
And you're all the players.
Yeah, so I'm playing about 5,500 people at once.
But he doesn't actually play them here.
Wyatt Hickok at the top of the key. Wyatt Hickok.
He plays them in his living room.
My.
In real time.
Marcus.
This game is against Duke. Bob says he doesn't know who'll win until he plays the game. But either way, he'll remember the outcome forever.
Is there any madness here?
I don't think so. This is a Walter Mitty type of existence that he has created for himself, except that he knows that he has created it for himself.
You know, children fantasize, little kids. You see them talking to themselves the way he does and creating worlds.
Yes, he has his imaginary playmates, and they are all basketball players.
He was running around in his living room exactly.
It's a sketch. This is a
exactly
sketch, isn't
like
it?
I was.
That's crazy. Okay, but he's not in fourth grade anymore.
Right, that's the only difference. I stopped when I got into high school. He's carried it on into his 50s.
Did he ever discover women?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is he married?
I wish we knew.
I don't think he is. I think they said he was single.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that explains. Isn't that amazing?
That is just like you.
Isn't this guy my soulmate?
Yes. The best part's when they continue the interview and he's in the background.
He's in the background.
He's in the high post and he gets it down to someone's home.
Like a special child who is...
With Adonis McReynolds doing color commentary.
His name sounds like something Giorgio and I always make up.
I know.
That was absolutely fascinating to see that there was at least one other guy in the history of humanity who was doing what I was doing.
You know, the weird thing is they're making such a big deal out of, and he remembers all this. Okay.
How are we going to call him?
How do you fact check that?
They did.
He's got a media guide, I guess.
Well, no. They fact checked it because the psychologist or whoever it was interviewed him about all these players, and they did this on camera. And then, like, 2 years later, they went back and the psychologist asked him the same questions, and he had the exact same responses for all those players.
Wow.
So he's got it all committed to memory. It is pretty wild. Maybe I'll post a link to the piece done by 60 Minutes, but Bob Petrella, my soulmate, I've got to meet him. We got to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.